Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. And man, it's a tough week, right? This is something that we didn't expect to be doing. We didn't expect to be looking back on the season and wondering what went wrong and what went right. And I mean, in talking to a lot of the guys, you know, they felt that this week they should be preparing for the Chiefs. That's what a lock and clean out. That was the thing that we got from them, just, you know, a state of shock. But nevertheless, the show must go on, and we're going to continue to look at this Titans team. I'm going to bring you David Long. I had a conversation with him just before he was out of here for the offseason, and we'll bring you that. But I think first things first, we need to just look at Ryan Tannehill. And we'll get into the game, offensive and defensive side. We're going to have two segments of Chris Sanders today, so we'll have that for you. But I just want to look at Tannehill himself and just, you know, kind of what this Titans team has to consider now that the season is over and Tannehill had three interceptions, and those undoubtedly contributed towards this team losing the game, a game that they should have won without a doubt. And but when you turn the football over three times, you're not going to win, and that's exactly what happened. Outstanding performance by the defense, and we'll get into that. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill had three interceptions, and it just amazes me. You know, that first play of the game, I mean, that place is just full of energy. It's rocking. They're ready to go. And I understand the play call, right? You want to play action, use Derrick Henry as a decoy right from the jump and go ahead and take a shot. But my goodness, I just, when you look at the play call, the play design itself, you know, Mike Vrabel said they wanted to go max protection, but it's just, you know, I get going max protection, but at the same time, if you're going to try to put the safety in the bind, put him in a bind, right? Have some type of vertical route on the backside. And that way Jesse Bates doesn't get to read Tannehill's eyes all the way and just swoop in and pick the ball off. That is something that had to happen. And unfortunately, there wasn't any backside deep vertical route. The safety was able to just come down and do what he does, you know, be a ball hawk and swipe the pass, get the interception. And that just deflated. It was like somebody took a pin and just stuck it in a balloon. It just popped. All of the energy was just instantly sucked out of the building. And the defense, they did a great job, you know, holding them to 3 points. But the fire wasn't all the way put out. And that really was just kind of like the start of the ending of that game. And I think, you know, we'll explain the Julio Jones role in that too, because Chris Sanders made a very good point about the route. But the bottom line, you can't make that pre-snap read. You can't throw that ball there. And it was a bad throw. He was late on it, and he just, you know, telegraphed it to the safety. And that was the first interception. Now the second one, No Flags Film did an excellent job of breaking down how the Titans have used that same formation, that same play, that same read, RPO rather, and it's very predictable. My thing is this: it happened earlier in the game, and Mike Hilton clearly had a beat on it, and he almost tipped it. Ryan Tannehill, when he hikes the ball, when he gets the ball, and Hilton is coming, you may just have to either eat the sack, throw it high and out of bounds on purpose, or run. Those are the three options that would have been better than that interception. So I know a lot of you will put that play call on Todd Downing, which obviously it was his play call, but I think that interception was also Ryan Tannehill's fault. So now the third one. Okay, so you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine coming open. He's working his way back to the football. Eli Apple's able to punch it out. I don't know that that was the right read. Maybe he could have sat on it a little bit more and waited for Firkser to clear and hit him. But the other thing you have to look at, and Harry Douglas made an excellent point, why are all the routes so deep? You only needed 5 yards. It was third and five. So those are some things that definitely, you know, contributed toward this point of us being where we are now. And as you look at things, you know, I wrote about this team hitting their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill, you know, and that's where I am right now. Where are the Titans? That's the question. And you know what Mike Vrabel said when I asked him about Ryan Tannehill and why he should be the quarterback. In fact, why don't you, we'll go ahead and let you listen to that. This is what he said when I asked him about Tannehill.
As far as the quarterback situation is concerned, like, what is it about Ryan Tannehill that you feel should make him the quarterback next year and in years beyond?
You got elite toughness. You know, we have to be great around him. But he's shown signs of accuracy, of decision-making, to the ability to extend plays and to scramble and leadership. You know, so those are all things that you look for in a quarterback. And, you know, Ryan showed us that. Unfortunately, we turned the ball over on Saturday.
So that was Coach Vrabel on Ryan Tannehill. And I don't know, man. Some will say absolutely positively have to get rid of him. He has a cap hit next year of $38.6 million. His dead cap hit is $57.4 million. Now, if you go to overthecap.com, you could do a post June 1st release. Let's see where that takes us for Ryan Tannehill. Here's the bottom line. It's very likely that he's going to be here tomorrow. Already looking forward to the season starting. It's very likely that he's going to be here next year. And, you know, you could release him after June 1st. The post-June 1st cap is... So you're still going to be on the hook for $38.6 million. You still have that salary cap part of it. So that's the issue. The signing bonus part of it, that's the issue there that you have. It'll be very difficult to get rid of him. I'll put it that way. There's a lot that gets accelerated if you release him. Even post June 1st, but I believe you could push that over the next couple of years. I'm not exactly sure how that will work, so don't quote me there. But the bottom line is Tannehill is likely going to be here unless, right, you could orchestrate a trade. So what would be trade options? You got Deshaun Watson in Houston. Not likely that the Texans trade Deshaun Watson within division. So you could kind of cancel Christmas on that one. The Russell Wilson one is interesting, but why would the Seahawks take on Ryan Tannehill's contract? Well, ironically, last year, the Seahawks were kind of in this same place that the Titans are with Ryan Tannehill. Now you say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. When you look at Russell Wilson's contract last year, it had a similar high dead cap hit. Right. So last year, Russell Wilson was at $32 million and it had a $58 million cap hit. Now, his dead cap this year is $27 million. His cap number is $38 million. So you look at Tannehill, $38.4 million and $57 million. There is a way to get out of that deal after this year. So ideally, you would trade Tannehill to the Seahawks. Seattle would say, okay, you know, we're going to get two first-round picks out of this. We have a quarterback that we could be somewhat competitive with right now. We'll get rid of him next year and give us another year to figure out, you know, what to do with this quarterback situation. Because Tannehill's cap number in 2023 is $36.6 million. Dead cap is $18.8 million. So, in essence, what Seattle would be doing is, you know, taking on an 18, a pretty big number, right? But they could get out of it in 2023 in that offseason and get a couple first-round picks. So the question comes down to, would you give two first-round picks this year or next year or something like that to Seattle for Russell Wilson? I don't know. But that's an option. The other one is Aaron Rodgers, and that whole situation is just a mess. We don't know what's going to happen there as far as Devontae Adams going someplace else or how they're going to work that. But rest assured, if Devontae Adams goes someplace else, Aaron Rodgers is really not going to want to be there. Will he retire? Will he force a trade? I don't know, but he said he's going to make his decision before free agency. So that's going to be something to keep your eye on. Now, if Aaron Rodgers comes to this team, obviously they become a Super Bowl contender. But did you watch the game against San Francisco? Aaron Rodgers didn't have exactly the best game himself, but still, it's Aaron Rodgers. That will push this Titans team over the edge. And I think in order to win, you know, especially after seeing that Chiefs and Bills game, you absolutely have to have someone that could win you a shootout. And that's been a question that has been asked of this Titans team. If they get in a shootout with the Bills, with the Chiefs, you know, now you have to put the Bengals in there too. Now, of course, they only scored 19 points against the Titans, and that's after turning the football over three times. So that's the question. That's what's in question. Can you win a shootout against these teams? Because I feel those three teams with Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes are going to be here for the long haul. You were fortunate this year to catch the Ravens on a down slope, so they were out of the picture. But, there was just a great opportunity was squandered with this performance on Saturday. And we're going to get into that with Chris Sanders. You have the draft, too. I mean, that's something that you can look at. Malik Willis is a very interesting quarterback. I'm not so sure that any of these guys will be able to come in and do better than what Tannehill has done right now. But in the future, it's definitely possible. You look at Matt Corral. He's a guy a lot of people like. You look at Kenny Pickett, who's an interesting player. But I don't know that these guys would be there at 26. That's the main thing. And I'm not so sure if you're going to package picks to move up to get a guy, why not package the picks to get a Russell Wilson? That's my train of thought. However, Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati is very interesting. He's an athletic guy. He could push the ball down the field. You definitely saw him progress as a passer last year. So that's an option. That's something that could be on the table. But either way, this Titans team has to have some type of changes made. And just the way things are set up now, I don't believe that they're a team that could go to the Super Bowl with these teams that they're going to be facing next year. So just wanted to kind of unload the clip a little bit and talk about Tannehill. We talk so much about the offense. One of the guys that I really like on defense is someone else that you guys know, has been a catalyst for this defense, and that's David Long. Got to get a little one-on-one with him, a brief one, after locker cleanout. So here's David Long just on the prospects of this upcoming year, this offseason, and some of the things he's going to be working on.
For you personally, areas of growth, like what would you categorize as some areas where you want to improve, continue your progression as a player?
I just think all around. I don't think it's something pinpoint. Last year I said coverage. This year I came back and I was one of the best at my position in coverage. So as far as that goes, I think just me continuing to stay on top of my health and weight. But other than that, I think I've learned a lot from my pads and my coach. Continue to learn and get better, man.
What did you say your plan weight was what, 226?
But I usually play at like 226, 227 in college. But since I'm in the league, it's more about like 220, 218. But it got low during the end of the season. I play like 215. It's just like I got to be more consistent with my weight. That's all. But it didn't affect my plan.
As far as like you mentioned working with Jay Hill, like what are some of the things that you plan to work on? Is like speed, agility.
It's more like fast muscle twitch, like the hemi stuff like that. So I won't have no more hand problems. And just conditioning, make sure I'm staying on top of my conditioning.
Y'all said it after the game.
Because you know, I'm 25. I'm about to get no stronger, fast. You know, I'll probably peak in those areas. But if I just keep continuing to just stay on top of my health and stuff like that, so I can, you know, be durable. I think that's the best thing for me to do.
Have you changed like diet stuff or anything?
Yeah, I stopped eating like a lot of like red meat.
Okay.
Eat more fish and stuff like that. But yeah, not too dramatic that it's gonna affect. But I just more about like how many times I eat a day. That's more about what I think I'm trying to improve.
I know it's in your blood, boxing.
Yeah, yeah, man. So it's just like, yeah, just put on weight, lose weight. It's like, it's easy. So it's not gonna be a big thing I'm worried about, but just make sure I'm staying on top of it.
Yeah, and when I said I know it's in your blood and boxing, I'm talking about, you know, are you gonna do like any boxing and training?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Go, it's Gary. He's my trainer back in Cincinnati. So I usually go down there and get some work with him. He used to train my dad. So I get it. It's the boxing workout is hella different. It's so much conditioning that goes into that. So that gets me in great shape for, you know, coming back. So yeah, I go to him like twice a week when I'm back at home. But right now I'm not. I ain't trying to get back to no training.
Right, right. Too fresh off the season. Yeah.
So I'm probably go back and chill for a little bit. You know, kick it with my family and stuff. And then, you know, we'll worry about that later.
So that was David Long talking shop a little bit, getting into where he feels he wants to improve. I think the future is really bright for him. So let's see how that continues to play out. I'm looking forward to, you know, him coming back and being ready to go. So we're going to go ahead to a break. We'll be right back with a double dose of Run TMC with Chris Anders. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah. Strings, please. Come on. There they go. All right. All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. The music fades. The lights dim. And now, starting for your Milwaukee Bucks, at point guard, number 4, Sidney Moncrief.
And now, starting for the Green Bay Packers at wide receiver number 80, Donald Driver.
Now, Donald Driver was a bad mother trucker.
Well, shut your mouth. What, man? Is your heart still broken, man?
You know, I wanted to be working now. That's why my heart is broken.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, be doing this and talking about the AFC Championship game.
I know, man.
That is why my heart was broken. And I wanted to have an opportunity to do some more TV hits. That's why my heart is broken. But it's all good. It's all good.
Sean Crawford, that's it.
Hey, man, you do what you got to do. You take it as it comes, even though you look like Tommy Hearns. But we're not going to get into all that. But I guess what we can get into is just this defense. I want to start on the good foot here.
Yeah.
And when you look at this defense, the first things first, you know, the front four, they dominated. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons dominated to the point where Quentin Spain, he wanted to throw hands. You know, that's what he said. And I get it. I mean, it's no one likes to be embarrassed on national TV, but that's what Jeffrey Simmons did to that interior offensive line. 3 sacks. It should have been 4, right? Man. You had the one called back.
Right.
What do you think of Jeffrey Simmons in that front, what they were able to do?
Oh, man, he's a dog, man. I mean, just watching what he does. I mean, he's physical, he's fast, and he was continuously around the quarterback. But here's what I love about the defense. We know last year they only had 19 sacks, and everybody was talking about no pressure on the quarterback and not getting off on third down and you're not creating turnovers. All that stuff,
mm-hmm.
he improved a ton. I mean, they, if you look at this defense now than last year, this defense is fast, they're physical, they're disciplined, and here's the one kicker that I really, really love. Everybody on that team can tackle. I mean, even though that sounds cliche in football talk, but at the end of the day, if you do those couple of things, you're fast, you're physical, you're smart, you're going to put yourself in position to win. And they had 9 sacks. Guys are flying around. I know they gave us some plays with Jamar Chase. I mean, but they didn't really do too much. But, man, that front had Burrow like, man, what in Sammy Hill is going on?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, you're talking about 9 sacks, which tied an NFL record for most sacks in the playoff game. I mean, they had 5 in the first half. And now, mind you, 2 of them got called back, and these were due to calls not of the Titans doing, but one was a timeout. The refs didn't blow the whistle in time. And then the other one was a delay of game, I believe it was, or it was something along those lines. But they had nothing to do with the sack, you know. So it's just really unfortunate that the Titans had to have that effort wasted. We'll get into that. But here's the deal, right? This is a team that had 35 sacks with that front only. They had only blitzed 18% of the time. Both of those, the 35 sacks were the second most in the league. The 18% of the blitzes were the second fewest in the league, right?
Right.
Why are you going 0 against that?
No.
Why? Talk to me.
I was thinking exactly why. Why? Why? You don't need to. You're putting pressure on Burrow the whole time. Don't go cover 0. They got how many receivers there? They got Boyd. They got Higgins. They got Jamar Chase.
And that tight end.
Some bad dogs.
Well, tight end's good bad. Too. Uzoma.
I mean, because when Jamar Chase gets the ball, he's gone. And we saw that one play that gave him the momentum when he caught that little quick, you can call it a screen or we call it a quick jerk. You catch it and you go. I mean, that's all. That's kind of like, that's it. And then he ran an out route, you know, close to the game being over. But, man, just stay in a zone kind of coverage and tackle and keep everything in front.
Yeah, and that's the thing. On that play, Burrow knew that they were, like, he had an idea. They gave it away. Like, they were coming. The blitz was coming. And he was begging for that ball to be snapped. Begging for it to be snapped. And it was like a true catch and throw. And it was funny because it looked like Chase was, I don't want to say he was stunned, but it looked like there was a delay. Like he caught him, was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And then he was able to get out of dodge. But, I mean, that was one of the plays. And there was another one, I think, for like 12 yards where they went 0 blitz.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow was able to catch and throw really quickly and make big things happen.
But you know what's so cool on that play is, you know, nobody gave up on the play. And I really admire, I think, was it Amani Hooker? Because that was a touchdown. If he doesn't slide and make Jamar Chase jump, it's 6.
That was a brilliant, like, to kind of take on that block. Like, not take it on, but just, like, get in the way. That was brilliant to do that, man. Brilliant. Because a lot of times you see him just kind of, like, try to get in the way of the block and, you know, they end up getting pushed out of the way and next thing you know it's a touchdown. So, yeah, great point on Amani Hooker. When you look overall, that last play, you know, the 19-yarder to Chase. Okay, so Joe Burrow said he saw the signal. Yeah, why?
Why? Why?
Why?
Why? TD, why? Why? If you just stay in cover 2 or cover 3, that you just make the tackle. But what he did is, I love the way, and I hate to say this, I love the way Jamar Chase setting him up.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did, he baited him inside. He got him off his spot, stacked him, and then lied with his eyes to the safety and ran out. Brilliant.
Brilliant, man. Brilliant. And that is what, in essence, ended up being the game-winning catch, man. And when you look at that offense, though, do you think – what could the Titans have done better? Let's put it that way, because we're going to focus on, you know, the defense in this segment. So what could the Titans have done better?
I mean, I thought – this is my opinion. I thought they played a real good game. I mean, just like a couple of things. We're talking about defense. It's just that we gave up a couple of plays and we played some defenses that we didn't really need to play. And I respect Shane Bourne, and I'm not going to disrespect the coach ever. But I think in that situation, you keep everything in front and make a tackle. Mm-hmm. You don't give them an opportunity to where you can beat a guy man coverage, because if you know we struggle in man coverage, because you look at the first game, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, when he went against Hopkins, he struggled with man to man. So don't put those guys in position to where, you know, they're not strong at. Just keep them guys in a soft three, maybe sit about 6 or 7 yards, bail a little bit, and then when he breaks, come up, make the tackle, or make the pick. So I just think that overall they played well. The front got after Barrow. They were physical. They were fast. They were 8-9 hats to the ball. But all you got to do in this league is keep the game close, make a couple of plays, and give your kicker a chance to win the game. And that's exactly what we saw with the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's just crazy how this defense is expected to, you know, put out so many fires. You know, they use the term that Jeffrey Simmons has used in the past. It's just like, I mean, how many times are you going to ask these guys to pick up the slack? But I think the fact that there's no finger pointing,
like,
they could have gotten up there. Simmons, Byard, you know, they could have gotten up there and just been like, yo, man, like, we got 9 sacks. We held a team that's averaging 27 points to 19. We overcame 3 turnovers, but we lost the game. They could have said that, but they didn't. And, I mean, it's easier said than done to do something like that, you know, especially when you put in so much time and energy and you do so well. But I thought it was interesting because Jeffrey Simmons, you know, he was like, man, like, I'm in a state of shock right now. That's what he said on Locker Cleanout Day on Monday.
Yeah.
He said, I'm in a state of shock. Like, I was driving in here in a daze, and it just, we should be preparing for the Chiefs. That's what he said.
It's funny because I watched the film today, man, and I'm still looking at it, and I'm thinking something different is going to happen. Like, there's no possible way that the Titans lost with 9 sacks. And guys flying around, and your defense is playing phenomenal, because we always talk about a defense wins championships. And if we wouldn't have had those turnovers, I think we would win. But at the end of the day, you know, even though you may play good defense, you can't have turnovers on the opposite side of the ball.
You can't have it. And I mean, you could play defense as well as possible, but the bottom, like, when you turn the football over like that, you can't overcome it. And that's what we saw. That's exactly what we saw.
But look at the games that the Tennessee Titans lost this year. Texans, what happened? How many? 4 or 5 turnovers?
5 turnovers
there. Pittsburgh.
4.
Patriots.
Yeah.
So every game that the Tennessee lost, it wasn't that they weren't hustling or not playing good defense or doing something out of the norm. It was because of turnovers. Listen. You can't – I don't care if you number one on defense and sacks and turnover – not turnover, sacks and all these other stuff and all those categories. But if you lose and turning the ball over deep in the territory of the opposing people, you're not going to win too many ball games.
Now, you watched the film. Were there any plays defensively where, you know, that stood out to you, good or bad? We mentioned the two chase ones, but anything other than that?
I think that's kind of the only plays that they made. I mean, the one I think was Chase ran like a little out route and they missed a tackle. Byard even said he missed a tackle. So things like that. I just, you know, the overall, I thought they played, you know, pretty good. If you give them a scale of how they did, I think I would give them a B+. But you can't miss tackles. But when you miss tackles, those were big tackles. You know what I'm saying? Those are tackles that you got to make, because if you look at the point in the game. Understand during the game you can miss tackles, you can get away with it. But at that point, when the game is on the line, you miss tackles or get in the wrong coverage, that will get you beat every single time.
Amani Hooker, interception. Oh, he had that really good tackle. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think – I personally think this was one of his best games. What are your thoughts on Hooker?
But see, he's been consistent all year.
Yep.
You know, I just think that he gets overshadowed because Byard is that dog. He's that man. He's that guy. But Amani Hooker's that guy too, because if you look at that whole game, the momentum was shifted to the Cincinnati Bengals. But when Amani Hooker made that interception, where did the momentum change?
Hey, the place went crazy.
But he's been doing that all season. There's a couple of games where he comes up with a big pick. He's always in the right place. He's smart. He's understanding the defense. He's been in the right place. And, you know, when you got two ball hawks like that in the secondary, this team is going to be nasty next year.
Well, we'll see. We'll get into next year. We'll probably start on that next week. But that's the defensive side of things. Want to take some time to just slow it down and break this whole thing down defensively. Yes, now, after the break, we're going to switch it over to offense. And I got a feeling. Oh, man. I got a feeling that might have to be used.
Man.
We'll be right back.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
As you hear Black Rob saying, can I live? That's something that I think Ryan Tannehill might have to adapt that as his theme music, man. Can I live? And from the looks of Twitter and hearing the airwaves, I don't think people want him to live. You know what I mean? It's a darn shame, you know, some of the things that are being said about him. And I get, you know, the disappointment, but we have to keep this in perspective. It's a game.
Let's go.
This is a man that has feelings. He has a family.
Absolutely.
You know, let's stay away from some of the things that are being said about him and his family. Sure. We'll focus on the field.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Chris, I tell you what, after the game, you know, I told my editor, I'm like, yo, I have to write a piece on this team. I don't think that they could get any further with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. You know,
I think they can.
I guess we could get into that in a moment.
Yeah.
I said I don't think they could. And he said, well, you know, are you sure you're just writing that because you're just thinking that because you're mad that you're not going to be able to work next week? And I was like, no, man. Like, I really feel that way. You know, this team has hit the cap with them unless they do drastic things. Like, they're going to have to do drastic things.
Right.
But that's a different conversation for later in the offseason. But what are your thoughts, man, just after watching this game, the three interceptions? We talked briefly about that. So let's start with the first one.
Yeah.
And
I'm hot about that.
So we got Nissan Stadium full of energy and excitement.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's announced that, you know, you could probably hear the fans all the way out here at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike at the studio.
Right.
First play of the game.
Yeah.
Interception. Tell me. Hey. Talk to me about it.
Hey, okay. You know, Mike Vrabel always talks about everybody doing their job.
Right.
And I want to start from the coaches to the formation that I didn't like and guys on the route. Okay, let's break it down. Number one, let's talk about the formation. They were in a 12 personnel. That's one back, two tight ends, and two wide receivers. Okay. On the left side, you have two tight ends both on the ball. On the right side, you have Julio Jones and you have A.J. Brown, okay? So now they're running like a scissors route. You got the number one wide receiver who is Julio. Julio runs like a little deep curl. A.J. Brown runs a comeback. Number one, you don't have a tight end or a receiver in the third slot to take that safety out the way. That's number one. Number two, you know, Julio Jones is back in the day, he was explosive. He can get out of his cuts and come back to the ball. In football one-on-one, you got to come back to the ball. You got to burst off your cut. When I say burst off the cut, that means not too many choppy sets at the top. You got to maybe have two or three burst back and protect the football. When I say protect the football, that means come back to the football where the window is. Okay, number three, Tannehill should not stare down his receiver. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. But if Julio Jones comes back to the ball and protects the football, it's pass interference or it's a catch. That's why I'm upset. So I don't want to just blame Tannehill. I understand he's not supposed to stay on the receiver. I understand that. But it all started from the formation because now if you don't put no pressure on the safety, he's just going to roam around and just watch Tannehill's eyes. But if you send a receiver in his area, he's got to take that guy. And then now you got Julio sitting in that window. Catch it, maybe score.
Single high safety. You got two on one side. You know, naturally he's going to look to that side. So you have to have something backside to put him in some type of conflict. That was my big issue with the play design, you know.
Yep.
And I get it because Coach Vrabel, and I said this in the last segment, Coach Vrabel said he wanted to go max protection. And that's fine, you know what I mean?
But
you're still – you got to have something. That's the first level of the play, right? You know, the protection. And I get that, but you have to have something to make that safety not just completely work towards the left side or the offense's right side, knowing that that's where pretty much everybody to catch a pass is going to be.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, TD, which you're 100% correct, but the two tight ends were on the same side. Then you on the right side, it was an open end.
Yeah, it
was open.
It's,
so what I'm saying is the safety had, there was no threat. he had no threat.
Exactly.
Tight ends were on the same side.
That's so what I mean.
All these guys to cover two guys.
It wasn't an ideal setup. But at the same time, this is something I talked to Dan Orlowski about, you know, and he played in this scheme. And he said, you know, a lot of times, and he told me that Matt Schaub used to tell him this all the time. He said, you know, a lot of times you drop back, you take that play action, you turn your back to the defense. And when you turn around, you're so positive and assured that it's going to be open. Sometimes you throw it there regardless. And that is something that it seems like Tannehill does a lot. You know, he makes that preset decision that's where he's going. It's going to be there, and period, he's going there. And you can't do that. Here's a good example of just the pre-snap decision-making that he made. Speaking of the Bengals, so you look at last year's game against the Bengals. I believe it was the third quarter. The Bengals were in cover two, and they had Derrick Henry run kind of like a circle route out of the backfield.
Why?
It's just the way this play was set up. Khalif Raymond ran kind of like a streak from the outside on that same side as where Derrick Henry was. For some god ugly reason, I don't know why, the safety came down on Derrick Henry's route out of the backfield.
Wow.
And they were in cover too. There was also a flat, so that held that corner on that side, because, you know, in that cover two concept, if you don't have anything to hold you on that side, you go with the vertical route.
Absolutely.
Right? So nobody went with the vertical route.
Right.
Khalif Raymond probably still running right now if Tannehill throws him the football. But he didn't look that way. And I asked him about it after the game. Oh, no, that I think it was either after the game or that Wednesday when he spoke. I forget which time. But he was like, well, you know, I looked at the defense. I knew it was cover two. I didn't think that the safety would be there. It's like, bro, you got to look at the, you know. And it's hard to have, like, fish eyes and see the whole field. But that's when, like, you can't miss that one. You can't miss it. That was a touchdown. So it's just an example of just the predetermined reads and destinations of the football with Ryan Tannehill. But that's one interception. We'll quickly go through the other two.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on the second one? I mean, I feel like you saw Mike Hilton had a beat on it earlier in the game.
Right.
I would have probably tucked that one away and not pulled it back out.
Yeah, but you said something profound that you know, Tannehill's got a reason. Now, I put this one on Tannehill. And the reason why I put it on Tannehill, I know he threw an interception. He would have made a great play. But he's got to understand what's going on in the secondary. If he's on a slot, if that Hilton's on a slot and there's a safety shifting over, that means he's blitzing off the slot. So if he would have saw the coverage and saw the safety cheat over, that means that guy, Hilton's going to blitz off the slot. So if he had that in his mind, okay, I see what's happening. Then now he blitzes. I pump fake it. I get it to Rodgers. What's the name? Blocks the guy. It's a touchdown.
Yep.
But from him not seeing the secondary and not seeing the safety shift over, he's shifting over for a reason. He's not just shifting over there because, you know, some girl over there is cute. No, he's shifting over there because he's taking the place of where the DB blitzed.
Yeah.
So if he understands that, and I'm not saying he doesn't understand that, but if he gets a preconceived read, okay, I see what you're doing, and he would have known that in his mind, I think the throw would have been a little different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's tough. And that's one of those things where, you know what, even if you didn't see that, once you see that safety coming and you see his angle, hey, man, either throw it extra high and out of bounds, like for give somebody in the first row a souvenir or try to see if somebody on that Bengals sideline could catch or eat it, you know what I mean? Or, you know, try to run like something. But that was the worst of three things to do.
Yeah.
The final
absolutely.
One. What are your thoughts on the third interception? With 20 seconds left in the game.
Okay, number one, I didn't like the formation. It was 11 personnel, and then I think it was I think they were to the field. I think they were to the field. It was Rodgers, you know, the number one wide receiver. Where's Julio? And then you got Brown, the number two receiver slot. So if Brown is in the slot, he's going to get bracketed. I understand if Ferguson was open, great. But then you got Westbrook up there, the single receiver. I just think that you need to put your big dogs in the game. That's number one. And number two, that everybody talks about, I talked about earlier, that you got to beat me to the spot. You got to beat me back to the ball. You got to protect the football. If Westbrook just keeps coming and doesn't stop at the top of the route, it's going to be incomplete, or he's going to catch a pass, or it's going to be pass interference. It goes back to everybody doing their job. And you know, I want to be careful with saying this. I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, being critical. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to execution.
Yeah, execution is important. I guess we'll look at the rest of the offense. I mean, you mentioned A.J. Brown and putting your big dog in. Yo, a big-time player, big-time plays, and big-time games. What we challenged him on this show last week, right?
Sure did.
And look, he came through. What are your thoughts on his performance?
He's a dog. I mean, he said it in his press conference. He said he wants to be one of the top two receivers in the league. And with the way he's going, I think he can definitely do that. The key thing that we got to do for him is we got to make sure he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, I believe he's one of the top 10 receivers in the league. You know, he makes the plays. That route that he ran, I think it was the second pass that he caught where he lied with his eyes and went to the post, dirty. I mean, that was stank. I mean, I almost had to plug my nose because that route was so stank. Because, I mean, he's understanding how to run the routes. He's understanding how, if you get bracketed, which guy I got to run the route off of. So when he gets that, with his catching ability and him being tenacious and him not afraid to go over the middle, hey, he can be one of the best receivers in the history of the Tennessee Titans. Exclude me.
I believe he's not afraid to go over the middle, too. I mean, that's something that he does consistently. What are your thoughts on Julio's performance? He got some targets.
Yeah.
I like the catch that he had where Von Bell rocked him and he got up and kind of talked to him.
Yeah. He looked pretty good. I mean, I just wish they would have used him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the game is on the line, why is Rod – no disrespect, but why is Rodgers in the game? You know, that's what I don't understand. I just wish they would have used him more. I mean, get him the ball, get him a hitch, get him a slant, get him somewhere where he can have, you know, yards out of the catch. He was just – it was kind of like a splash. Oh, I see you. Then it goes a little bit, I see you again. Then we don't hear no more from him. I think if they incorporate some plays for him, incorporate, you know, a series of him making some plays, I think this team can be dangerous next year, boss.
Zero targets for the tight ends. Your thoughts?
I really don't have any thoughts because, you know, I think they was trying to get the ball to their playmakers on the perimeter because their secondary, you know, wasn't good at all. You got Eli Apple, who's okay. You got Awuzie. I can't pronounce his name. They were trying to attack the secondary. But here's the thing. I'm glad you brought up the tight ends. It is on that last play when he threw the interception, who was open?
The tight end. Anthony Ferguson. All right, so we got that out the way. Derrick Henry. Did he have the juice or not?
Not that game. And the reason why I say he didn't is because they kept running the ball to the left. Why were they running the ball to the left? It's because he couldn't plan off his right.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have that explosiveness. And what is to expect? I mean, that dude came back from, you know, a hurt ankle. You know, just to kind of give you an illustration, that one where he broke it to the right and he tried to stiff-arm the guy, he couldn't stiff-arm him. He couldn't plant his foot. So that's why he kind of stumbled and fall. He just didn't have that second gear and those punishing runs because he couldn't really plan off, you know his foot. I mean, just look at the one where they tried to do the go for the 2-point conversion. If that's the old Derrick Henry, it wouldn't even be close.
He's powering through that backside tackle.
Yeah, but he can't power through it because there's no strength in that ankle because he was hurt. So, you know, it was. I mean, he's still better than every other guy in the league. But at that moment, I think the best running back on the field was Foreman.
Yeah. Now, Foreman, he was balling. Should he have gotten, what was it, 4 carries? He had six?
Okay. You know when he should have got the ball, right? It's 4th-and-1, right? They went in 13. Okay, I'm going to give you this. They went in 13 personnel, right? It's 1 back, 3 tight ends, and 1 wide receiver. That's Westbrook. So if you see that formation, what do you think it is?
Yeah, 13 personnel. You know it's a run.
You know it's a run. But I would have went in 21 personnel. And I'm going to tell you why. Is Foreman was balling. You got a nasty fullback in blasting game. You go 21 personnel and let blasting game lead them up there. You don't think Foreman would have got the first down?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're going to make me cry up in there.
sound like Trey and Boys in the Hood.
Man, we did some teaching today, man. Shoot.
Definitely. So I just wanted to get into your thoughts on that. Yeah. That's the offensive side of things. I'm glad we were able to break this down and work through it all. So I appreciate you, man. We'll come back next week and talk a little more shop. I'm not sure what we're going to discuss, but we'll get into something. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris Sanders. You've just tuned into Double Run TMC.
Appreciate you, Doc.
How about it? So that was Chris Sanders. You got double dose of Run TMC. Like I said, I wanted to slow it down and just get into both sides of the football. Now that we're hitting the offseason, we're going to just try to open up and get a little more into detail behind some of the things. Any requests or anything like that, man, at @TDavenport_NFL. Send it to me if you want something that Chris and I could break down for you. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. It's been an awesome season. Keep your head up. The offseason is here, and you know, Senior Bowl, draft, free agency, there's a lot to happen. So let's just stay tuned. Make sure you check out the work. Once again, check us out, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.